Well, thank you very much, ladies. I appreciate that very, very, very much. Can you imagine the thief on the cross? He was hanging on the cross of execution because of what he had done. It was almost over. He had wasted his life. He's waiting to die. He's in excruciating pain. He really doesn't know what is awaiting him after he closes his eyes in death. And yet there was this man, Jesus, who he knew had done nothing wrong, hanging on the cross next to him. He had probably heard the crowd jeering and complaining and making fun of him. In fact, cheering as the nails went into his hands. And when they raised the cross of Jesus and it dropped in his hole and the bones fell out of joint, and his body in shreds from the scourging of cat of nine tails scraped down that old rough cross. And what he heard this man say was, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And the crowd railed on him and railed on him, and finally one of the soldiers starts making fun of him. Then one of the other thief on the other cross next to him makes fun of him. And that thief just simply said, "Hey, when you come into your kingdom, remember me." Don't know what that's going to mean, but remember me. What is the kind of kingdom does a dead man have? And he believed he was who he said he was. Jesus turned back. He said, "Back," and then knows that language. If you want to say, if you really want to put some emphasis on it, you say the word twice or three times. You know, it's just like you say, "I really, 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 really want this." But he says, "Verily, verily," he says, "true, really true." I mean, this is true, true. I'm telling you the truth here, man. "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." In a matter of a couple hours, Jesus was dead because he gave his life. He wasn't fighting to stay alive. The two thieves weren't. And the soldiers came along and they broke their legs so that they couldn't push themselves up to breathe because of the fluid in there. We had to push yourself, raise yourself up out of the fluid, kind of like congestive heart failure. In a matter of moments, both those thieves were dead. One of them woke up in hell. But one of them had called on the name of Jesus. Can you imagine? He was hanging on that old rugged cross, excruciating pain, stark naked in front of the world. And he closed his eyes in death. And when he opened his eyes, the next breath he breathed was heaven. And he walked into the pearly gates on the streets of gold and was greeted by Jesus. And And he walked down Hallelujah Avenue. I don't know what it's called, but Hallelujah Avenue. And there was Noah and Abraham, David, and Solomon, and Ruth, and Rahab, and the rest of them. Can you imagine thinking, I don't deserve to be here? Here I am because of the cross. Amen. By the way, if you haven't got that squared away, do that. You might not be condemned to die on a cross for some crimes that you've committed, but the fact is all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is still death for every single one of us. Because you break the law in one point, we've broken the whole law. We can't go in there. We would defile heaven. I don't care how little your sin was. If it was sin, it's sin. I'm sorry. But don't let that stop you. The truth is, Jesus came and died and paid for your sins. And it's a gift of God, not of works, that any man should boast. It's yours if you'll take it. If you don't take it, it's... I'm sorry, you're the fool. Well, would you take your Bible and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11? Sorry, that was message number one. I don't know, I just felt called to do that. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse number 13. Actually, that's where I'm going to kind of start the message, but I want to read a couple verses before we get there. Go back one chapter to chapter 10, verse number 12. The Israelites have come out of Israel. They were in the bondage. They were slaves. And God in his mercy sent Moses to lead them out and let them go. And God brought them out of the bondage. By the way, we're all kind of bound in some things. Whether you've got addictions, you've got strongholds, you've got things that get the best of you, maybe it's your mouth that gets the best of you. And it messes up your family because you can't keep that mouth shut. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. God can give you victory over that. You know, whatever it may be, maybe that bottle, you're trying to find happiness at the bottom of the bottle, and you don't, so that you find another bottle, it's not in that one either. You find another bottle, it's not in that one either. Maybe it's at the end of a needle, and you think that's going to do it, or it's a little thing that you're going to snuff up there, and you walk around with white powder all over your nose, and you're still not happy. It's not going to be happy. Listen, we're trying to, but God, you're chained by that, but God says, I can give you freedom. He gave them freedom out of the bondage of their slavery, and he said, I'll take you to the promised land. I'm going to give you a good life. And they said, yeah, but it looks like that might be hard. I see some giants over there. And we do the same thing. Well, you know, living the good life might be just a little bit too hard. I guess we better not. They lied to themselves. God has said, take the land, it's yours. And he said, I don't think we can take it. Oh, so you know more than God does. But they didn't. So they wandered around in 40 years in the wilderness. So that bunch were too chicken to go in, died. And then God, and after 40 years, he tries it again. And then he says, now we're going to go in the land. Now, I told you the first time to go in the land. Here's how you're going to keep the land. Here's how you're going to enjoy the good life. But you never got over there. Now, we're going to try this again. I want you to go over to the good land. And by the way, the rules haven't changed. You want a good life. This is the way it's going to work. And by the way, in 2024, the rules have not changed. If you want to have a good life, it still works the same way. And so here it is. Here's how we're going to do it. So he gets them all together and says, now, here's something I want you to do. Look, chapter 10, verse number 12. And he says, now, Israel. Now, listen to me, people. What doth the Lord thy God require of thee? What does God want out of me? I'm trying to live life. I feel like he's on my back. Sometimes I think like God's blowing and I can hardly get through life because he's blowing. He's resisting you. Why is God, what in the world is he? Listen, I'm not that bad.
I mean, I work hard. I do, and I feel like, I'm trying my best to do what I can do. Why? Listen, what in the world is that? What does he want out of me?
He's going to tell us. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God. In other words, remember that he's God. Some of us forgot that he's God. Why are we messing with him? Why are we jerking his chain? To fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. So the reason I'm telling you to do these things is for your good, not mine. Why was it that mom told you when you were a junior in high school, be home by 10? You might as well be home by 9. Why? You get out there too late, you get tired, you're going to do something stupid. How many times you get a bunch of boys out and say, watch this? You know you're in trouble when it said, watch this. And by the way, it usually takes a guy like that, about 3 or 4 hours before he has enough nerve to get too handsy with his girlfriend. So go home before you get handsy. It gets late, you get tired, you give in to your inhibitions, and all of a sudden you do something you're not supposed to do. Get home before 10. Why? For your good. God's got a whole list of things here. He says, I can keep you out of trouble. In fact, I can make your life better. You didn't come home at 10. You stayed out to 12, and you're 17 years old, and she's pregnant. Life will never be the same. I'm not saying God can't make good things come out of that, and I'm not saying that little baby is it going to be blessed by God? That baby is loved by God. He knew that baby was going to be born, and that baby's going to, God loves it. He died for it. He can get saved and do great things. The Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, he was talking about abortion. He said his parents were not married, 17 years old, got too close, and he's the result. Thank God for him. So that's okay. I mean, so you said, well, that was all right. No. It was wrong. They should have waited to get married and do it at the right time and probably would have had him anyway. You know what I'm saying? God knew. God makes us so. We are and we're created. Well, I got all kinds of messages here this morning. That's not in my notes yet. God knows what we're supposed to do. Now, I want you to go to chapter 11, verse number 1. We're going to be here all day. Chapter 11. Therefore, thou shalt love. If this is what it's supposed to do. All right, here's what. Then, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children, which have not known, which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, his stretched out arm, and his miracles and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and unto all his land, and what he did unto the army of Egypt, and unto their horses and to their chariots, how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day. And what he did unto you in the wilderness until you came into this place. And what he did unto Dathan and Abiram and sons of Eliab and the sons of Reuben. How the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their households and their tents and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord, which he did. Therefore shall ye keep the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong and go in and possess the land whither ye go to possess it, and that ye may prolong your days in a land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them, to their seed, and to their land that floweth milk and honey. For the land whither thou goest into possess it is not as the land of Egypt,
from whence you came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even to the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in due season, the first rain and the latter rain. In other words, we want a little rain when we're planting, we want a little rain at the end, so we have a good crop. The first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, thy wine, and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that they may eat and be full. You know what it means when he has grass in the field for the cattle? It means we're having T-bone steak for dinner. That's what it means. I saw someone sent me a birthday card a while back. I think it was the Chronisters. Anyway, it says, I found out how to get my vegetables, my greens. Cows eat greens and I eat cows. Okay, anyway. Verse 15, I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, and that thou mayest eat before it. Well, watch me. Verse 16, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. He says, I got a plan. If you work the plan works. If you don't work, so many people complain that the plan's not working, but they're not working the plan. Now, don't deceive yourself and tell you I don't need to work the plan. See, that's what we do week after week after week after week after week. When we come in here, we hear the Word of God, sounds good, and maybe one of these days I will, but I'm okay right now. We lie to ourselves and say, I don't need to work the plan. I said a word of prayer. I'm going to talk about that. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and for the truths here. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to move and give us what we need here this morning. Speak to our hearts. We're all here in different stages of life, different stages of our walk with God. There may be some folks that have never received Christ as their Savior in this room. Maybe there's some folks who've been here for years and years and years, and they prayed a prayer. 1, 2, 3, pray after me. And they say, well, I believe it, you know, and I'll trust the preacher to tell me the thing. But no, I don't want them trusting me. I want them trusting you, Lord. I want them to have their faith in you, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to make sure we get some things settled here and not be deceived. So, Lord, I pray you speak to us, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Go back to verse 13. It says, it shall come to pass if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day. That means to hearken diligently means to hear, really hear. I mean hear. Hear. You know, listen, really, really. These are not suggestions that he's about to make. These are just not a word to the wise. These are strict rules for life, not to be set aside or taken lightly. Now, if you fear God and realize he's given us some instruction, and by the way, they're pretty clear. Why don't we just go ahead and do it? Listen closely to what God wants you to do and then do it. These are not suggestions. These are commands. There are many people who lie to themselves and tell themselves they do not want, they don't have to really do things just like God said. They can do as they please and still have the blessed life. And in fact, they don't really need God's blessing on their life. They will bless themselves. I say that. They wouldn't say that, but we live like that. It says, okay, so it says, so ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day. It goes on, to love the Lord your God. That word love there means to have an affection for as a friend. Do you like God? Have you made God your friend? There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. What a friend we have in Jesus. All. And it says, and to serve him. Now, you don't like, that's where we don't like this. That word serve there means to work like a slave. Oh, God doesn't. God doesn't. What'd you do this? What'd you do this? What am I? Is he my master and I'm his slave? That's your choice. But God takes very good care of his servants. The prodigal son, dad's always on my back. Do this, do that. Can't do this, can't do that. So I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to get my inheritance, which, by the way, he only got because daddy had it. Get my inheritance. I'm getting out of here. And he goes, he lives out in the far lane with all the mess, and then all the friends leave once the money's gone. And now he's eating with the pigs, doesn't have anything. And he comes to him, when he comes to himself, he realizes, man, dad's servants live better than this. They got food on their table, they got a roof over their head, they got clothes on their back. I do better go home and work for dad than sit out here. But you know what that means? I got to admit that I goofed. I just messed up. Sometimes the biggest mountain to our success is our own pride. Got to swallow that pride. Boy, that's hard to swallow. But God says, I'm not going to make a big deal. Just come. Just come. So he goes home to dad. And dad met him. Saw him coming. Met him with the arms open. This is how God does it. He says, son, I'm so good to see you back. I'm sure I've missed you. He said, hold on, Dad. I'm not fit to be called your son. I would like to work on your staff here. And, you know, if you're willing to let me, I'll live with the servants. If you just let me live here and work for you, I'll be glad. Oh, no. Kill the fatted calf. Put a new robe on this boy. He stinks. Put the ring back on his finger so he can represent the family. Let's celebrate. Our son was dead, he's alive. That's what God says when you come back to him. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. Boy, but you know what? We don't want mercy because it hurts our feelings. Our pride says we don't want mercy. I'll do it myself. You know what that you do? You know what you're doing? Lying to yourself. To serve him. And it goes on, with all your heart. You're all your innermost being. Then it says, with all your soul. Now, I've told you many, many times, the soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So this means that you're going to serve him with your mind. What are you thinking about? What do you think about? Last week we talked about, is a man thinking of his heart, so is he. What do you dwell on? What do you think about when you're just relaxing? Now, I'm not saying you have to be thinking about the Bible and memorizing Scripture all the time. I'm not. But I'll tell you what it says. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? That means you never hang up. Listen, to be honest with you, I don't pray and say, amen. I do that for you so you know I'm done. So this is okay. That's what I wanted to say. There it is. Yeah, you know where we are. But the fact is, I don't say, no, I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Doesn't say to do it that way. That means you come in Jesus' name. It means you pray what Jesus would put his name on. That's all it means, all it does. That's all it means, just so you know. And I don't say amen and close up and hang up the phone. He never leaves us nor forsakes us.
Lord, what am I supposed to do here? This isn't working, Lord. What do you think? I've lost my keys, Lord. Where are they? Listen, you say that's funny. I can't tell you how many times I found something I knew I can't find. And I said, no, Lord, I've got to get out of the house here. What am I going to do? I got to find this. What am I going to do? And sure enough, sometimes it comes to my mind, well, you know where you were 3 hours ago. You were over here. Yeah, they are. Look, they fell down underneath that thing. Look at that. There they are. You said you think you're crazy. I'm not. I'm telling you. You said, well, does God care about that? He cares about me. If I lost my keys, I probably, almost anybody in this room would say, I'll help you find them. Preacher, if there's anything in this room, I'll help you find them. You would. Are you more gracious than God? No. I'm going to serve him with all my heart, with all my mind. What I'm dwelling on, with all my will. Many people say they believe in God and his word and in his ways, and yet they do not exercise their will toward God and actually obey him. They exercise their will contrary to the ways of God. Their will is to do as they please and not as God pleases. And they wonder why their lives are still falling apart. Many cannot even start to seek God by simply assembling themselves together with believers, as a matter of some is, a couple times a week. That's the will of God. He said so in a book. You don't even come and listen. So I don't know what God wants. Well, then come and learn. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Many of you grew up in churches where they stood up and they sang some dead old song, and then the guy stood up there and he read a scripture and gave you the first lesson, and then he talked about how his car broke down and God got to help him get it fixed up, and he go home. You didn't learn the word of God. That's not what church is. What you're supposed to go to praise the Lord. Listen, you praise the Lord in your own heart. So, well, he's leading us into the presence of God. I don't lead you into the presence of God. No one leads you into the presence of God. You walk in the presence of God if you're saved. He's in your heart. It's just that we all get them all together and we all rejoice in the presence of God. But God's not some egotistical ogre that wants himself patted on the back. Oh, you're so good. Oh, you're so good. Oh, and so he's nice to you. You want to make him happy? We just read it. You know what he said there? What doth the Lord require of thee? He doesn't say anything about you standing up there and waving your hands and singing songs to him. Now, if you really like him, you may do that. But that's not what he requires. See, we've been doing this all wrong. We have deceived ourselves, or somebody has deceived us. We think we've worshiped God. We get a bunch of banners and have a big to-do there. We march a bunch of people across the platform. We all applaud at all the people and all the costumes and all this stuff. He didn't say that. He said, just do what I ask you to do. That's really what I want. I want you to love me. I don't need a parade. If you love me, keep my commandments. We got to exercise our will. And we've got time to do a lot of other stuff. We don't have time just to come and listen to what God's word has to say. Now, I'm not God. But I'm going to tell you what God said. He just said, listen, you guys were there. When he wrote this, you guys were there and you saw all the things that God did getting us out of Egypt and going according to the wilderness and all that kind of stuff, the Red Sea and all that stuff. We said, your children didn't see that. But where is it? It's right here. We're the children. We didn't see it. But we got a record of what he did right here. And then our emotion. What gets you excited? What gets you excited? What stirs your emotions? If you dwell on the good things of God and then you exercise your will in obedience and you start seeing God work in your life, you'll start getting excited. You will.
all of a sudden you'll be praising the Lord. All of a sudden you'll be one of those crazy people that says, that's right. Those crazy people. Oh, that's right. Tell them, preacher. That's crazy people. What are they getting so excited about? Because it worked for them last week. They saw what happened this week. It was yesterday. They've been praying for somebody for 3 years to get saved. And yesterday, they had a nice little conversation. And they bowed their head and received Christ as their Savior. Worship Him with our, love Him with all our heart, our soul, all our will, and our mind. Make the Lord first in your life, even above your own wants and desires and before your own plans. That's what a friend does, to do love Him like a friend. The Hewitts are here, and I asked what they were going to do for lunch. Apparently, they already got some plans. I was going to take them out for lunch. Sorry. But they've got plans, and they're going out with, you know what they're doing? They're going out with the Pathfinders, the friends. That's what friends do. If Jesus is your friend, you're going to spend some time with Him. Well, I don't really know Him. Well, whose fault is that? Let's do it. Number two, God will make life work out for you. Verse 14, He tells us all those things. Then He says, that I will give you the rain of your land in His seed, in His due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, thy wine, and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for the cattle, and thou mayest eat and be full. Now, how will God make life work out for you? I don't know. But He will. Listen, in 1982, when I got out of college, I had in my mind that I would love to be working in a church. I was not a pastor. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. I had no idea that Dover, Pennsylvania existed. In fact, 2002, I still didn't know that Dover existed. Now, by the end of 2003, I did. God has sent what we needed. I've said, I can't pastor this church. I really can't pastor any church. But I do have a God who can. And you know, you could say, well, you've just been lucky. No, it's too much just to be luck. You can't count this with luck. God sends us people to do what we need. It's amazing. It's amazing how He does that. Just at the right time. Brother Nathan and I were talking about this the other day. He said, you know, I took over the Season Saints because the Hewitts left. He said, I haven't asked one person to help me with a meal. They've offered. They came to him. He said, isn't that what you said? Where are you? There you are. I mean, that's just a little thing. I know it's just a little thing. But when you got to do it, it's a big thing. Right? You know, it's a big thing when you got people coming. They're expected to eat. And by the way, it's really a big thing for me because I don't cook. He could probably cook a meal if he had to, but I can't even do that. I burn water. But anyway, God takes care of you. He said, I'll send you the rain. I'll take care of what you need, when you need it, how you need it, when the right time is coming. Now, but you say, well, you know, I don't have, you know, right, we've all been young, and you're scraping your heart, and you're living paycheck to paycheck. I know about this. I know what that's like. We did it. I'm still here. I lived paycheck to paycheck. And I'm still here. God took care of us. But you know what? We got our paycheck. We put our tithe in there. You said, why would God force you to? He's not forcing me. It's His money. So I give Him His money. I give Him His tenth, you know. And we say, well, that made it worse because we're already short-handed.
I can't tell you. I could probably get some testimonies in here. The numbers didn't work out.
But the bills were paid.
Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Yeah. I don't know how it got paid, but he sent the rain at the right time. We got a Christmas gift or something. You know what I mean? Instead of getting a bunch of Hot Wheels for the kids or whatever. No, whatever. We got money or whatever. I don't know how it was. I didn't steal the kids' money. But that sounded bad. But I just came on my head. That wasn't good. But anyway, God takes care of us. You know? Give me something that I don't need. But said they give us cash. Well, we paid the cash. You know what? God takes care of us. I can't believe. When we were out of college, I lost my job. I'm sorry. I got to tie this shoe. I'm going to fall off of this thing. I was feeling what was going on there. I didn't know where the next paycheck was going to come from. And yet, God paid every bill. He makes it work out. Makes it work out. Now listen, if you work the plan, we must realize we need Him and we must obey Him with all our hearts. You know that is called humility. God gives grace to the humble. But if we are so proud as to think we don't need the Lord and His blessings, God will show you that you do. In fact, if you lie to yourself and tell yourself that you don't need Him, He's going to prove it to you. Don't lie to yourself. Number three, don't lie to yourself concerning these principles and God's promises. Look at verse 16. Take heed to yourself. Now, keep an eye on yourself. Watch yourself. Put a hedge yourself around yourself. Protect yourself from this. Don't allow yourself to lie to yourself. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived. Whether you lie to yourself or somebody else lies to you. God says He'll take care of you. What does He require? That's what it is. And He said, I'll send the rain when you need it. Well, I don't know. Are you calling God a liar? Why don't you just go ahead and spit in His face too? Well, God never did anything for me. Well, you're not working the plan. Well, I did a couple things there. You're not working the plan. Your mother tells you to make your bed every morning. Well, I did it twice last month. Are you obeying Mom? No. God says to keep yourself, your nose clean. That's what my mom used to say. Keep your nose clean. Well, I only had sex with two girls last month. Who's not my wife. Yeah. So you think the days that you didn't. I think it's that a Christmas song. Santa baby. Da 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 da. I think in the middle of that song it says, all the men I didn't kiss. I was a good girl. Just think about all the ones I didn't kiss. That's how we think. Well, God, listen, I didn't do this. I didn't rob any banks. I only cut off three or four guys. Gave one guy the finger, but the rest of them I didn't. I held back. Verse 16. Take heed to yourself. That your heart be not deceived, not deluded, or to be simple, fooled, and turn aside, get off track, and serve other gods. In other words, don't allow yourself to be talked into walking away from God and all His promises, and walking in the lies of this world, thinking that the world has the answers for your life. Don't lie to yourself and tell yourself that you don't need to have the Lord working on your behalf. Don't lie to yourself and tell yourself that God's plan won't work for you. Don't lie to yourself and tell yourself that you can have good success without seeking the Lord with all your heart and diligently obeying everything God says. Don't lie to yourself and tell yourself that the world would be a better friend to you than God would be. Don't trust yourself or anything other than God Himself, because if you do, verse 17, and then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you. Boy, that's not a good thing.
Don't mess with God. Oh, God in His mercy may not strike you dead right away. But you just watch as things continue to fall apart and melt away. Do you really want God's wrath on you? Or don't you believe the word of God concerning this warning? Or do you think you don't need to fear God's wrath? Do you think you can handle God's wrath? I've actually had a guy said, I think I can handle whatever God throws at me. Wow. Are you really that stupid? God can make life pretty difficult for you as He is getting your attention. But if you still don't give the Lord your attention and your obedience, the Lord will make life even more difficult. Look what it says in your verse there. And He shut up the heaven, and there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. That's where our country is right now, by the way. You know, listen, you can call me crazy, but all this climate issue that we've got, that's God getting our attention. He takes all the rain that we're supposed to have and gives it to somebody else, and we dry up. And He takes the rain from them and dumps it all on us one time. He said, I'll give you the rain you need at the right time. He's still in control of the weather. You do realize that. Don't deceive yourself that there's no connection. By Him, all things consist. We must realize we need Him. Haggai, a prophet, wrote just before they went into captivity. And they were sinning. You could think, and listen, this is, you could think this is not a big deal. This is one of the things that sent them in the captivity. Haggai chapter 1 verse 5 says this, Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. He says, ye have sown much, and you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled. You clothe, you got something on your back, but none of you are warm. And he that earneth wages to put them into a bag with holes in them. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Listen, when you're doing what, when I'm not perfect, God's merciful. Listen, you mess up, you confess your sins, He's faithful and just, forgive your sins and let you have another start. His mercies are new every morning. So I messed up yesterday. Yes, I know. Confess and forsake it, God gives you mercy. Well, I messed up again, yes, again today. I know. God's faithful to, if you confess, to forgive your sins and cleanse yourself. And so after a while, you get tired of confessing. And you start going ahead and doing it right. You know what I mean? He said, I'll take care of you. It'll be all right. But there's some of us, we're getting a paycheck, and it's like there's holes in our pocket. We should have enough to make it to the end of the month, and we just don't. That's the way we were before we started tithing. Somehow we were both working in public school, and I know the teachers complain about their salary, but between the two of us, we were making pretty good money. But all of a sudden, we had some savings. We were eating the savings up. We shouldn't have been eating the savings. It just was going out the door. The car was falling apart. It was this and that, and one thing after another. And meantime, I'm going to church, and no matter what the preacher preached on, all I heard in my heart was, you're not tithing. And we weren't. My dad always gave a $10 bill. Well, actually, years ago, it was a dollar bill. And the plate went by, put a dollar bill in. Then I got a little older, so I put a five in. You know, and I thought, we're spiritual. We're going to put 10. We're spiritual. When we're near a tenth of our salary, but I put it in.
thought I was real, real spiritual. We did, and we were doing that. And God gave us time to grow. But after a while, I was sitting in a good church. Every time I've heard a preach, you're not tithing. Yeah. Next week, you're not tithing. No, I don't need to do that. No, you're not tithing. I was deceiving myself. And then it turned out we were losing money at the end of the month, every month. We're losing money. We're eating up our savings. Can't do that forever. And finally, I said, Janet, I said, we can't do this anymore. We've got to start tithing. She says, I don't know how we're going to afford to do it. I said, well, just going to have to do it. So all of a sudden, she tithed, and all of a sudden, we started making ends meet. Then a few months later, I started feeling, you're not tithing. I thought, well, I must have lied to myself. It wasn't the Holy Spirit talking to me. I should have been saving my money. I'm putting it in a bag, wasting it. I'm putting it in there. I could have put a 10 in there. Been happy with that. When the plate went by, they saw me put something in. I'm good to go. I said, well, we were losing money again. I mean, we weren't losing, but it's like he was speaking to my heart. I came home, and I said to Janet, I said, are we still tithing? Because she always takes care of all the books and all that kind of stuff. She said, well, yeah. I said, well, tell me exactly what you're doing. Well, you get paid every other week. So I put half the tithe in this week and half the tithe next week. And if we have a little problem, you know, we have a little extra there left over if I need it. I said, no. I said, we get paid, put the whole tenth in. Well, so we can't afford anything to put in the next week. I mean, the next week we won't put anything in. That's okay. I'm not here to put this is later though. I'm not here to put money in the plate so everybody can see I put money in the plate. I'm not here to put money in the plate so when they count the money, they say, well, Sterling gives the same thing every week, so he's faithful. Or, you know, well, he didn't give anything this week. What's wrong with Sterling? I don't care what the guy who counts the money says. I care what God says. God says, give me the first fruits. So I said, put it all in. He said, well, we won't have anything to put in next week. I said, that's all right. Don't worry about it. We still put a $5 bill in. That's called offering. The tithe is the Lord's. If I don't give it, I'm stealing. And you know what? We started building our bank account again. The only thing that changed was we gave God more money. That's what changed. Or you could say this, we obeyed him. And I stopped lying to myself and said, I can fix it better myself. Now, this is not a message about giving money. That's not what I'm here for. But sometimes where the money is, where the rubber meets the road. I want you to say this works. Now watch me. Don't blame God for forgetting you. Blame yourself for forgetting to love the Lord with all your heart and diligently hearkening to his commandments. Now how do we fix this problem? Look at verse 18, almost done. Therefore shall you lay up these words in your heart and in your soul and bind them upon thine hand. In other words, knit them together. When it says to make them part of your soul, it means to have a love league with them. Sounds funny. Love your Bible. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Blessed the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. When I was about 18, I saw a girl across the room at a music store. Her name was Janet. And I delighted in her. But she was too good for me, so I didn't say anything. But then one day she showed up at my door and said, hi. And can I go get you something to eat? Well, that's going to work. So anyway, the rest is history. I delighted in her, and I still do. You know what that means? I want to spend time with her. I remember going, when I taught in public school, and in the summer we have a break. And I remember going back to school and sitting in the teacher's lounge, and the teacher saying, one of the teachers saying, So glad summer's over. If I have to stay another day in that house with my husband, I think I'll go crazy. And I'm thinking, we spent 3 months together in the summer, and the more time we spent together, the better it got. I delighted in her. I don't know which how she felt, but I was doing good. Delight in the word of God. Watch. He said, that thou may be as frontless between thy eyes. No, take the word of God in. By the way, the word of God will let you see the right things and keep the wrong things out of your vision. You'll start be able to follow him. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking to them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the door post of thine house and upon the gates. By the way, this is why our society has gone to the dogs. We haven't done that. This is why this generation is so quick to swallow lies like transgenderism and all this other crazy stuff. I mean, come on. It's ridiculous. You need another biology class. If we will go back and confess our sins and the sins of our fathers and do right, God said he'll spare us. Look at verse 21. That your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. When we mess up our lives, chances are we're also messing up the lives of our children. We hinder our progress and success with sin, chances are we're also going to hinder the progress and success of our children. And just in case you already have forgotten, here's the word again. Our hope is in the truth of God's word. Verse 22. For if ye will diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you. And you will possess the greater nations and mightier than yours. Every place whereupon the soles of your feet shall tread up shall be yours. From the wilderness of Lebanon to the river Euphrates unto the uttermost sea. By the way, that's what they're crying out. From the river to the sea, that belongs to Israel. We say, why don't they have it all? They're not making the Lord God their God. But God's not going to get rid of Israel. But they're not getting blessed the way they could. Just saying. But the fact is, they're not. Those people who want to get rid of Israel will not be successful. Just won't be. I think God will bring back America the way she used to be if we would, as he intended to be, we could be the city on the hill again. God would knock down our enemies and the things in this world that want to stop you and destroy you and your family. But last we're playing here, but this is your choice. We cannot blame God. Verse 26, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. We can choose to have victory and choose to be set free by the truth, or we can choose the inevitable demise of our future. He said, a blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known. Is that clear or what? Don't be so foolish as to think that there's a third choice. There's not a third choice. All this is why we deceive ourselves, thinking that all this Bible stuff is a bunch of foolishness and it's not worth the time or the paper it's written on. And I can do what I want, when I want, how I want, and still see the blessing of God. Go ahead. It's your choice. What you believe doesn't change the facts. Can I get a witness? Don't be deceived.